Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on August 5th, 2020, from my home studio here in Columbia. Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. Also, it's August. We made it to August. Let's just take a nice deep breath. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features a look at how Americans feel about the November election, what the situation is looking like for minority-owned small businesses. We find out when high school sports will resume, and the dire need for blood donations in the state. Also, we get an update from Superintendent Molly Spearman and more. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from you all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a one-minute-long voicemail with your name and where you're calling from at 803-563-7169. Tell us what you're up to, if you're traveling, if you're stuck at home, if you're unemployed, or if you're still working. Tell us about the conditions you're facing right now during this pandemic. We are very interested in hearing from you at 803-563-7169. Now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing, widespread, and not contained, according to the Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 1,819 deaths, and currently there are 94,837 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of August 5th at 4 p.m. Now some more data. Our percent positive rate is 20.7%, and currently there are 1,469 COVID-19 patients hospitalized, with 363 in ICU and 270 patients on ventilators. That is a sad new record. The previous record high of ventilated patients was 263 on July 24th, and now again we are at 270 patients on ventilators across the state. On Tuesday, State Superintendent of Education Molly Spearman was before a panel of House lawmakers discussing the latest on school reopening plans, connectivity issues, missing students, and more. With more students enrolling online this fall, it will allow for some districts to have socially distant classrooms with children who do go back to school face-to-face. This will be important, especially for truant students. Currently, Department of Social Services is working to locate some 3,200 children.
We did give a rubric, and as you have seen in the news like I have, even the experts disagree, and the American Academy of Pediatrics has come out very strongly and said the factors of not being in schools in some cases may outweigh the risk of the infectious disease. Well, for instance, a child who's at home with child abuse, no matter what the spread of the infectious disease, it'd be great to have them at school. And that's a very blatant and extraordinary reason, but that could be happening. So you've got folks out there who are really trying to balance all of this and make the best decision. I think those who are going back are have enough of their population who have chosen virtual that they believe that their class sizes are low enough that they can maintain social distancing in their facilities. So that's a reason, you know, I don't want anybody to think, oh, they're just not even looking at the data. They are, but because of the high rate of virtual choice, it has allowed them to be able to say, our classrooms are, they know the square footage of their classrooms. Some are in old buildings with these huge classrooms that they can socially distance. So they are making their decisions, and they're doing it very cautiously. So that's why you see different models being used.
Now, teachers won't have to develop lessons for in-person and virtual teaching where applicable. But in some situations, the in-person classroom lesson will be live streamed. Most of the plans have some flexibility to switch from virtual to in-person on a case-by-case basis, but for the most part, students need to be locked into a plan, the superintendent says.
The districts who are offering virtual learning, many of them are having the exact class schedule. Some of them are doing their virtual learning built into their regular teacher. If you're assigned to Ms. Smith, but yet you're going to be a virtual, Ms. Smith will take care of your class schedule and it will run as though you were there in the classroom, 8:30 to 9:15, a break, 9:20 to so forth. And the expectation there is for the hours. While we still will need some type of minute waiver, but a much higher expectation for the class schedule that students will be sitting through.
Safety continues to be the number one concern, not only for students, but teachers. Smearman said one school district superintendent told her that 160 of the district's teachers did not want to go to face-to-face instruction.
Different communities have different fears about this virus, and we are seeing that very obviously as we are surveying and as parents are saying what they choose. It's as high as, 80% of families in some communities want to go back to school with no reason. We want to go back. And then in other communities, the exact opposite, where 80% says, no way, we need to be virtual. So it is, I am really working. I stand by my decision that not all schools in South Carolina should be operating the same way. It would be nice. It would be wonderful. But this virus has brought a lot of fear in some communities more than others, more spread in some communities than others, and superintendents and their boards are really trying to manage and maneuver their way through that. And then add to the fact the fear of teachers for going back into the classroom. This superintendent that I was speaking with today told me 160 of his teachers have said they will not go back. So it's not as easy as it sounds. So it's very difficult. And if things would just start looking, on the decrease, that would help us so much. But so far, we don't have those kind of numbers yet.
Spearman added that SCETV will add an additional channel of educational content and that the State Department of Education has secured a $15 million grant, a portion of which will fund a pilot project involving data casting in York County. Data casting is one-way communication which sends data over ETV towers from schools to homes. Now, while students can't send information back, they could use this service if internet is not available. But hotspots are being shipped out to families who meet the criteria of having a student in the household, and there's also priority for these families if they are in counties where the school district poverty level is 86% or greater. So far, 56,700 households have requested a hotspot, and through CARES Act funding, some 150,000 could be served on the first-come, first-served basis. Now for some high school sports. Boom, 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 boom. Lou Bajak at the state newspaper reports that the South Carolina High School League Executive Committee approved start dates and championship dates for fall high school sports. The 7-game regular football season starts September 25th. Mark your calendars, sports fans, with state championship games set for December 4th and 5th. Also, the league will be allowed to submit a proposal to the State Department of Commerce on the school's behalf regarding the amount of fans allowed in the stands. Since Governor McMaster has limited capacity to 250 people or 50% of the posted occupancy, whichever is less. Finally, on our way out of this politics section, we got some polling data. No, it's not the most recent morning consult poll that shows Democrat Jimmy Harrison 1% behind Senator Lindsey Graham. That poll has a margin of error of plus or minus 4 points, though. No, it's not that poll. It is the Axios Ipsos Coronavirus Index update. And that finds that Democrats are twice as likely as Republicans to worry about in-person voting, with nearly 2 in 3 seeing it as a risk to their health. Axios reports that this could pose a significant disadvantage for Joe Biden and other Democratic candidates in November if this pattern holds. Overall, 52% of the respondents ranked in-person voting as risky. Now, those numbers come alongside President Donald Trump's interview with Axios reporter Jonathan Swan, in which Trump said, quote, you could have a case where this election won't be decided on the evening of November 3rd. This election could be decided 2 months later, quote, and, quote, lots of things will happen during that period of time, especially when you have tight margins. Lots of things can happen. There's never been anything like this, quote. Voting by mail dates back to the Civil War, and 1 in 4 Americans have used it in the last 3 federal elections, per the Brennan Center. Fraud is rare, according to the center. Now for our short business section, and guess what? We got another poll for you. This one is from MetLife and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Special Report on Race and Inequality on Main Street. Now, some of the poll's findings include that minority-owned small businesses have been disproportionately impacted by the coronavirus and the accompanying economic fallout. 2 in 3 minority-owned businesses say they are more concerned about having to permanently close versus 57% for non-minority-owned small businesses. However, that gap has narrowed significantly from May. The number of minority-owned businesses expecting revenue to decrease in the next year has increased fivefold, from 5% in the first quarter to 24% now. The link to this poll and more is in our show notes at scetv.org/sclead. And just to follow up on bankruptcies, S&P Global Market Intelligence has found that 2020 is on track to have the highest number of retail bankruptcies in a decade. So far, 43 retailers have filed for bankruptcy this year, including many companies that were debt-ridden and struggling before the pandemic. S&P finds that with 5 months left in the year, there have already been more retail bankruptcies this year than in the past 8 years. Now, just for some context, in 2008, 441 retailers filed for bankruptcy. On our way out of the business section, have you been traveling for work or pleasure? Bing! First of all, we'd love to hear from you. Tell us, 803-563-7169. Who would have thought I could miss a TSA line so much, but I do. But do you know the best practices while traveling? Well, the U.S. Travel Association has put together what it calls the Travel Confidently Toolkit. It gives you great safety practices to follow while traveling, and we have a link to it in our show notes. Even though the nation is in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, other needs go on. A big one is the need for blood. According to Red Cross spokesman Ben Williamson, hundreds of blood drives have been canceled or rescheduled by the pandemic in the last few months. As a result, thousands of pints of blood have been lost to hospitals. Here's South Carolina Public Radio's Tut Underwood with this report.
I'm here because I wanted to do something in response to the COVID crisis, and this seemed to be a very specific way that I could give back to the community and help somebody.
That's Julie Lumpkin, and she's giving blood at the Red Cross Donation Center in Columbia. She is one of many helping out with life-saving blood during the COVID-19 pandemic, and that help is badly needed. According to Red Cross spokesman Ben Williamson, the pandemic has caused hundreds of blood drives to be canceled and rescheduled since March, resulting in the loss of thousands of pints of blood. But despite the spread of COVID, the need goes on.
There are kids that have cancer that need blood. There are still accidents happening where transfusions are needed. As elective surgeries have picked back up for hospitals, that need for blood has gotten even greater. So as we live in this COVID-19 environment, we are continuing that mission. It certainly has changed our processes at blood drives.
Williamson named some of the processes the Red Cross has changed to protect its staff and donors from the virus.
When you show up as a blood donor, you're required to wear a mask. Our volunteers, our staff, they're all wearing masks. Before you're ever allowed into a blood drive, you're asked COVID screening questions. A deep cleaning takes place in the morning and at night. We've staggered appointments. We are limiting capacity inside buildings so we can spread our donation beds out.
Lumpkin said the spread of the virus initially gave her pause, but careful consideration changed her mind.
I did think about it. I've been very careful about where I was going out in the last 4 months. So every decision I've made to go out was very well thought through. And this also, I decided if anybody knew how to keep a place safe and sanitized, the Red Cross would.
Fellow donor and future nurse Etta Smith said the pandemic did not bother her when she considered donating.
It did not. I was in nursing school, so I know I'm going around infected people all the time in the hospital during my clinicals. That's the reason I got into it. It doesn't frighten me or put fear in me at all.
Like the other donors, Bryant McGowan was confident in the Red Cross's precautions against the virus.
They trust me to rely on the information I'm giving to them, and I'm trusting them to rely on the information they're giving to me. Happy to do it. It's uncomfortable wearing a mask, but better safe than not being able to donate. Small price to pay.
Asked whether COVID will cause permanent changes in the Red Cross's operation, Williamson recognized the possibility.
no one knows what the future holds with COVID-19. It's changing daily. We don't know what it will look like in 2 months, 3 months. We won't even know what it's going to look like in a week. The Red Cross, we learn from the disasters that we respond to. And so I think there are certain things that will forever change because of the way we've operated in COVID-19.
Williamson said one thing the organization has learned from the pandemic that almost certainly will become a permanent procedure is its response to house fires.
We've had great success responding virtually, right? Connecting with those families virtually, being able to speak with them moments after it happened or a day or two after it's happened, speak with them, figure out what their needs are, figure out how we can assist them. And we've done that virtually. And that's something that in the foreseeable future, that's the way we're going to continue to do that.
Red Cross nurse Ebony Asmine said people are recognizing the safety of the centers and donating to help fill the gap left by canceled blood drives. Williamson said in addition to more blood, the Red Cross greatly needs volunteers because COVID is preventing help from other states to travel to South Carolina.
Thanks, Tut. And if you're allowed to and are able to donate blood, please consider it. As we head out, just a tidbit on school reopenings again. CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield said, while in-person classes are important for children, schools in areas with test positivity above 5% may need to utilize remote learning instead, at least initially, to mitigate transmission risk among children. Just so you know, every county in South Carolina is above 10% positivity right now. Now, this is our wind down section where we want to hear from you. Tell us what's happening in your world. Are you going to work? Are you traveling? Have you tested positive for COVID-19 or someone that you know tested positive? Tell us about your testing experience. We're very interested. We want to know what's going on out there in your life. And of course, just, you know, I know some people have been wondering, I've been waiting on the fence to call you guys. Just give us a call. We're not going to judge you.
No pressure.
No pressure. We're here for you. Lead's here for you. 803-563-7169. Give us a holler. We love hearing from you guys. And AT, have we heard from any more people?
Yeah. We got some more calls. Oh, yeah. We got some more calls. We have a third time caller. I think it's his third time. It's a, he calls himself his friendly neighborhood grocery worker. So let's say clean up on aisle, roll the dang old tape.
Aisle five, roll tape, please.
Can I get a price check on roll tape?
Is this on sale?
Roll it.
Hey guys, this is your friendly neighborhood grocery worker coming at you live from not South Carolina. I had a family member get sick, non-COVID related, so I safely came up here to show a little support for just a little bit, isolated and being smart. And I am in a state that has had mask laws forever. And let me tell you, there is so much mask wearing up here. It's amazing. And guess what? Nobody is complaining. Nobody. You know, people are just doing it because you're like, oh, it's great for our people. It's great for everybody around us. We might get through this. Who knows? Just wanted to let you know how it is in another part of the country. And wanted to say the garden is coming to an end. Time to start updating you guys for the fall garden type stuff, I suppose. Whenever I start planting it and planting it, it will happen. And also wanted to give a observation from your most recent podcast, even though I do not eat cheese anymore, whichever one of you, I think it was AT, he talked crap on Mama Celeste frozen pizzas. Also might have been Gavin. I'm not sure. Point is, Mama Celeste pizzas are a gift from heaven. I grew up eating them. You roll those things up like a burrito. You house two of them. You feel great about your day. And you go back to watching, like, you know, Chasing Amy or something like that on VHS. That'll probably show you my age. Anyways, hope you guys are doing well. Hope South Carolina is getting better. Can't wait to feel the heat again real soon. Anyways, you guys have a great day.
Well, thank you for calling again, our neighborhood grocer. Always good to get reports from you.
Don't thank.
I'm thanking him for the call, not for what he does. Because I know he doesn't want people to thank him for what he does.
Okay.
Also very interested to play guess who here with what state you might be in, since 30 states have mask mandates.
I'm going to go ahead and say Rhode Island. I don't know.
Something up Rhode north, Island. Because he was talking about bringing the, can't wait to come back to the heat. So it's got to be something, yeah. I mean, it's hot everywhere, but I'm wondering, I would say up north somewhere too.
Rhode Island.
And that was AT talking trash about Mama Celeste. I'm very interested in making a Mama Celeste burrito now.
I'm right. I would, maybe it's a great taco burrito shell. I don't know, but it's a bad pizza. It's a bad pizza.
Yeah, we're talking about the worst of the worst here. We're talking about Frozens.
Don't you talk about Red Baron like that. Red Baron is amazing. Speaking of VHS, Gavin, you have some outdated movie watching news, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely correct. Last night, I have a DVD player like any sane person does. It's not a Blu-ray.
Not Blu-ray.
You know,
very
just
sad,
leave me
depressing.
A voicemail. Leave me a voicemail. I don't buy Blu-rays. I don't buy the hype.
You
I
have
got
an answering
my DVDs.
Machine too, right?
Huh?
You have an answering machine, right?
Yeah. Like, well, hey, you have to have a landline, AT. No, I'm just kidding. What number do you think you call when you leave your voicemail?
That's Gavin's personal landline.
Yeah, that is a landline. But no, I have the DVD player in one room that we had set up for the holiday party. It was playing The Shining on repeat. So the DVD player's in my office here with my other TV, like an older flat screen. You have two, no one has two TVs. So the DVD player's been in here, but the big screen is in my living room. And, you know, it's just such an ordeal to plug those things in. And I wanted to watch one of my DVDs. But I was like, oh, I don't want to get off the couch and have to try
put
a flashlight. Well, I'll tell you which DVD. One of sci-fi's greatest hits. That is The Fifth Element.
Yeah, Luke Besson.
With
absolute banger.
Bruce Willis. Yeah, I mean, it has it's just, it holds up so well. And I was just in the mood.
I was speaking about this a month or 2 months ago. And so this is how long it takes me to convince Gavin to watch a movie.
No, you have to be in the right mood to rewatch a movie you've seen dozens of times. And I saw my friend Grace's Instagram story. She had like this, she follows the hashtag Ruby Rod.
Oh, yeah.
Ruby Rod! Ruby Rod. He's so great. He's so amazing, don't you think? I need to start mimicking Ruby Rod more, I think. Maybe people will listen more. So anyway, I ended up renting it from Amazon for like $1 instead of plugging in my DVD player in the other room.
Pathetic.
That's the age we live in, right? Convenience.
You're just trying to look out for a struggling company like Amazon. So that's why you gave them
the
dollar,
ever since they doubled their profits, I was like, we really got to make sure they keep that gravy train rolling.
We got to watch out for them. They need our help. So that's what you're doing. You're just looking out
just
for
a dollar,
small local business.
You know, between that and like my Amazon Music and Amazon Prime Reading and just the continued ordering of products every other week. Yeah, I'm just really trying to make sure that they make it.
That you're just a conscientious part of a community.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It's a
corporate-created
community. The corporation loves me.
Amazon is your neighbor, Gavin. They are your neighbor.
Yeah, you know, it's just one giant multinational firm. Whatever. They're local.
I'm gonna put this on the record here that Gavin will not watch Fast and Furious Hobbs and Shaw so we could talk about it.
I already watched that one with The Rock. Is The Rock in this one too?
The Rock is in every one after the one you're talking about.
I mean, sorry, I don't know that.
You need to watch this movie.
Watching The Rock and Vin Diesel fight, I was just like, it was confusing.
I think Meg, if you're listening, can you watch Hobbs and Shaw and then tell Gavin that it's the craziest movie you've ever seen?
Oh, you're doing a reverse influence now.
Yeah,
no, she needs someone else to verify that it's good enough for her to watch. She's not just going to take your recommendation.
One for one right now. I mean, you got to see this movie. It is the craziest film you'll ever see, and
film.
I do call it film. It is cinema. It is not a movie. It is cinema. It's
I watch
crazy
films. Okay.
These people are, you cannot harm them. They are machines, and it's crazy.
I can't.
You have to see it. You have to see it.
And guys, just a little production note for you. This Saturday's podcast is going to be a little bit different than normal. I recently went to a hospital down in Merle's Inlet, Thailand's Health, and spent some time down there in their ICU, in their emergency department, just seeing what things are like to get a firsthand look at all the surge that's happening across our state, not just there, but across our state. So got some good firsthand accounts, and we'll be bringing that to you in Saturday's pod. So stay tuned for that. And stay up with the latest news on scetv.org and southcarolinapublicradio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. Also, consider becoming an ETV member. Membership starts at $40, and if you pledge at the $75 level, you get access to PBS Passport and all the great programming your donation helps support. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Hagrid, let's just remember our place. You're the wizard janitor.
Let's not get a hold of ourselves here. Ahead of ourselves.
How about you go clean up the Dementor puke, okay?
I need more berries for my hat. Oh, DHEC numbers. Awesome.